Phoenicians.
And we are on. I guess I just hit the record button, but what a better way to start an episode of Abstract Transmissions. We had a little bit of a unexpected technical difficulty. Thank you, Matt Connerton, for being our first guest back on the new format via Zoom. We're excited to do it this way. A little stressed out about getting it right, but I'm glad that we can hear and see each other. Sounds pretty good. Hear things now, pretty smoothly.
Well, I appreciate being the first guest back. And will this be posted in a video format, or are you just using
absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So everyone can see my smiling face.
My lightsaber on the back wall there. I was like, what kind of lighting can I make look a little bit better than just my room?
Yeah.
So I
put
up a bunch of old posters from when I was like 16 years old and a lightsaber on the wall and called it lighting. I got some LED strip stuff. I'm just like, just so I can at least it's dark in here. Oh, so I'm like, how to make it work out, you know? It sounds, I can hear everything really clearly. I was worried about whether I was going to be jumpy or anything, but smooth.
It sounds great in my headphones.
Yeah, right. That's what I go off of. Is like, hey, if it sounds smooth to me, it's going to sound good recording. That's on Zoom. I paid him the premium there just because I know we're going to be doing more than one guest and, you know, at a time, you know, Justin might decide to jump in and whatnot every now and then for episodes. So I figured why not just kind of cover ourselves there. But
you have a black cat.
I do get two of them, actually. They're brothers.
Cool.
They're adorable when they, you know, lay together and are quiet and it's not 4 a.m. and they decide to make chaos of my entire house.
We have a black cat. We have two cats and one of them's black. So,
yeah.
So don't believe the stigma about them being bad luck. Especially at Halloween.
Well, so funny story about that. I was born on Friday the 13th, right? And I mean, I've actually had kind of a weird amount of bad luck and good luck. Like, so I've had a lot of like horrible, tragic things happen, but then I've also had these really weird scenarios where like I found my way out of situations that I'm like, nobody like just kind of smooth nonchalantly out of situations that I've really probably shouldn't have gotten out of. So it's like, I don't know how to gauge that and whether it's just, you know, chaos and the, you know, the noise, you know, pattern in the noise, or if it's just coincidence and circumstance. But speaking of coincidental circumstance, we were just talking right before I screwed up the record thing there about how, you know, voters kind of taking a chance on the unexpected, or, you know, what could shake things up. And sure enough, we're there. We're right at the end. Well, hopefully at the end of it, in my opinion. Like, look, I don't know. You see every now and then I've tried to decrease my amount of Facebook interaction or social media interaction, unless it's related to Abstract, Ambient, Discord, the band, or, you know, Cuffy Proctor related stuff. But every now and then I'll go on and, you know, spout my opinion for the world to see. And, you know, the thing that I've found like just recently is just, everything's become so like noisy, like almost, you know what I'm saying? Like I was going to go to a different point, but this actually popped up in my head and I may not get where I was going, but really just things have been really like this chaos, I think, on the internet specifically, that it's been happening in the background and it's kind of just slowly accumulated to where we're at now, which is just bananas. Cause people are like right down to what's Thanksgiving going to look like this year, dude? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
For a lot of people in a lot of homes, how divided people are.
Oh yeah.
Right after the election.
I think things are more politically intense than I can ever remember them being in my lifetime. You know, and I'm, you know, I've been around a bit longer. I'm in my 40s, and in my lifetime, I don't recall it ever being this politically intense. Plus you have COVID on top of everything. So that, so things are even more intense and weird. And yeah, this is the first time I've been saying this on my show. This is the first time I can remember in my lifetime ever being genuinely, seriously concerned about violence in the sense that, you know, yeah, like I have a lot of friends and I'm sure you do too, who, although some of them don't really interact with me as much as they used to, but you know, these friends who, you know, they've got their guns, and don't get me wrong, I'm very pro Second Amendment, but the people who, you know, they've
especially
got
their, recently, they've got,
yes, yes. But the people who've got their guns and they like to talk about a revolution. And yeah, like I had a roommate years ago who, and he and I were fairly different politically, but we could still have really good, productive conversations. We got along really well. But he used to talk about, you know, he had guns. He was very into guns. He had all kinds of guns in his closet. I didn't have any guns in my closet. I'm not a gun guy, even though I believe you have a right to have one, or as many as you want. So it was never an issue. I actually felt safer in the apartment knowing that he had them. But I remember he would say this wild shit like, yeah, you know, when the revolution happens, I'm gonna be at the top of the mountain there shooting people. And it's like, really,
no, he's
dude,
not.
You're not Rambo, man. And yeah. But here's
the
thing,
laugh,
though.
You know, because you know, I get where they're coming from. It's a place of being concerned and fearful, right? I mean, shit, it's almost the same reason that I'm voting for Biden. I've never voted major party my entire life as a voter. I've been voting since I was 18, and I've voted a third party every election that I can remember. Mm-hmm. And except for the primaries, I've definitely primaried with a lot of Democrats for like gang and stuff. But then it's like, it always ends up with a guy I don't want and I'm out. And
right.
This election is the first time it's different. It's different because it's not like, I hate that it's so existentially different on both sides, but it really is. And depending on where you are on which side, or if you're just not on the side, like I'm not on either side. I don't agree. And I'm not a big fan of Biden, to be completely honest with you.
Right.
But there's this point where like, it's not just about what I want. It's also about my son's future. And I think there's a big amount of fear involved in my voting this time around. Who knows, if I didn't have a child, maybe I wouldn't be voting for Joe Biden. But also the Yang component mattered to me too. He's probably going to end up Secretary of Technology on the administration and stuff, which they're both he accomplished exactly what he said he was going to do. I'm happier that he didn't actually end up the nominee in a lot of ways, because I think that he's going to get it actually done this way. Work more of as an operator.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think you're right. But I can relate to what you're feeling about. So, and again, I'm older, so I was first eligible to vote in 92, and I voted for Bill Clinton. I voted for him twice. I didn't start really voting third party until, well, let's see. I voted for Obama in 08, but in 12, I voted for Gary Johnson. And in 2016, I voted for Gary Johnson, because somewhere, and it was actually before 2008, I think it was around 05, 06, I started feeling like, you know, I think I'm, because I had been a Democrat, and I said, I think I'm done being a Democrat, and I don't want to be in a political party at all anymore, really. Right. So I decided I was going to be an independent, I'm in the same boat as you. This time, Joe Jorgensen, the Libertarian candidate, the nominee, I do too. She's interesting, you know. But another time, another place, Joe.
Look, I'm pretty harsh.
Joe,
yeah,
the other
I'm
Joe.
I'm sorry. that's it. Like, I hate to say it, but and I like her. And this is going to come off really pissy to my Libertarian friends, but she's a wet blanket of a candidate. She's not Bernie Sanders when it comes to excitement and that organization. Say what you want about his politics, people are genuinely excited to vote for him, you know. And I think that ultimately, you know, if there was that type of hold on one second.
Oh yeah, no problem.
Grassroots, you know, movement in my kids screaming about Minecraft and the other, this grassroots movement behind a third party libertarians, and they weren't so busy arguing with themselves on fucking line. That's the shit. Like, everybody can say what they want about the Democrats and the Republicans, but the libertarians are just as bad in the aspect of infighting, disorganization, not really having key messaging this election, not having pointers to say, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're different. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, they are, but it's disorganized because it was like, is it going to be the doctor? Or is it going to be the guy with the boot on his head? And I personally was going for Vermin, to be honest with you, because I thought it would have gotten more attention. And then he would have taken the boot off and been like, mic drop. And I really think that he was doing that now. And this is why I was an advocate for Vermin, but it didn't align because I was stunting for Yang, man. I was knocking on doors, hobbling around on my cane, man. Boom, boom, boom. Hey, I'm with the Yang campaign, Yang gang. People are like, you want to what? You want to give me free money? He wants to give us free money? It sounds like awful is what it sounds like. And I think as time goes on, people realize that it's not. It's your money back that you paid in or lost because you got bent the fuck over when it came to data rights and privacy rights and you name it, consumer spying, like whatever you want to call it. It's our rights right out the goddamn window, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
For prime.
Yeah, shipping. Absolutely. But I feel it's been a hard thing for me to, there's a part of me that feels like a sellout, you know, voting for Biden.
No, I felt like that too. And the more I think about it, the more it's just like, no, dude, what are we selling out for? If there's no, who wants to rule the ashes? Right.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Well put. Yeah.
Like what are we going to do if the whole country falls in on itself? You know, libertarian hardcore anarchists can be like, yeah, we'll start it over from the beginning when all the gangs re-centralize and start their own governments and it's feudalism all over again. So no, that's not how it works. And do a little bit of thinking around corners for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
But you know, I like,
well said,
you know, I don't know. I'm so like, I get it. I truly do get the third party argument because I've been doing it my whole life. And these guys are condescending to me about how you're going to vote for Biden. Don't you know? It's like, dude, you're telling the wrong guy, man. I get it. Yeah. I've never voted for a major party. And don't you think it chaps my fucking ass that I got to vote for Joe fucking Biden the first time I do? Come on, man. I was hoping I was going to vote Yang. I was like, how could people not get on board with $1,000 a month? Because it would literally shape the entire economy. And don't we see it now, right?
Oh, especially now. Especially now. I mean, what's happening right now is the greatest argument for UBI.
It really is. And for centralized healthcare. And I'm not going to say socialized healthcare. I say centralized healthcare. And I think there's a big difference between the way people are looking at that. And that's not a coined term. That's something I'm probably pulling out of my ass now. But I do think that that's the best way to approach it, is because socialized healthcare is not going to be something everybody's on board with because government doesn't really do anything right. But there's some things that only government can do.
Yeah.
Also.
Exactly.
Which I think was Yang's point. He's a libertarian in a lot of ways, but there's some things that he recognizes, like giving out big checks to every American. They have all of our information, in good or not. Like, it's, maybe it's bad, maybe it's good, but they have our information and they're the only ones that could see, and they did send everybody out checks, and everybody was and it fucked up. Of course, it's gonna. But
yeah.
If we didn't have that, the private sector could do fuck all about it. So
exactly.
And I love the private sector. Go SpaceX, Seth, Tesla. Yep. You know, you want something to change it yourself. I'm for that. A capitalism.
Yeah.
You can't find anybody more pro-capitalism in that aspect. But I kind of went on a tangent and cut you off, dude.
No, not at all. Actually, some of what you're saying is I'm gonna steal some of it for my show, because you're crystallizing some thoughts that I have had myself, but haven't quite known the right words, like what you said about healthcare, centralized healthcare. I'm gonna use that. I'll give you credit for it, but I'm gonna use that
And that's right. And we can get more people on board with that thinking. Yeah. I think the better, because it really is. It's the whole socialism versus capitalism dichotomy, like Yang said, and I keep posting this video like it's fucking fire, and people are like, what's that mean? Like, people are just like, this is lame. Fucking,
right.
I don't care. He's not talking about giving me free money anymore, and there's no chance. I don't want to look. But socialism versus capitalism is a false dichotomy. And
yes,
I get the 25 years ago, but I'd say more like 50 years ago, Marxism versus Ayn Rand school of thought was, yeah, I mean, it made sense. But now Ayn Rand could say fucking shit about AI, no offense, right. But she wasn't prepared for it. And it was flights of fantasy to her.
Right, right.
If you think about that time, the objective realism wasn't based in science fiction. It was based, could be possible, but it's irrelevant to the matters at hand kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like libertarianism is built in that Milton Friedman, Ayn Rand kind of,
yeah,
you know, they're,
I know,
gods of the thought. And I do agree, for thinkers, they aren't better. And this is really I'm going to get shit for this one. They're not better than Karl Marx. They are better in that they were more right, but they aren't better in how they articulated it. Matter of fact, I would argue Hughes better at articulating his school of thought and the whole Communist Manifesto thing and so on and so forth, than the libertarians have been able to push their perspective. Although I agree with theirs more messaging.
Right.
You know?
Right. I would agree with you, but the thing is, and this is something I might be, I haven't even talked to Jenny about it yet. This is an idea that's been germinating in my mind, but I'm thinking about starting a podcast separate from my show that focuses 100% on talking about issues in a more complex, nuanced, sophisticated way. And I'm thinking about calling it something like non-binary. Although people are going to think if it's a good name, except some people think it's about, transgender issues. But
it might even be a hot button issue, which I'm just saying might attract more people to it.
Good, well, that's bad, true.
More that, attention.
That
more
is
attention.
True. That is true. Because one of the things that frustrates me, and you highlighted it when you were talking about the ongoing argument of, capitalism versus socialism. You know, we live in a culture where for some reason, and it's worse than ever, as far as I can tell, thinking about issues in a nuanced, complex way and using critical thinking is so discouraged in favor of looking at everything in a binary way. Everything has to be hard left or hard right, liberal or conservative,
And yet we're supposed to accept all these other things as spectrums, like, mental, and I'm somebody who struggles being on a cognition spectrum. ADHD is something to struggle with for sure. Everything is a spectrum, right? Sexuality and all this stuff. And I'm not going to argue that it isn't. I think even gender is a spectrum to a perspective, but then there's a biology argument and it becomes very, very complex. But the thing that I think is odd is that everybody is like going the direction of having more openness and spectrum. But then when it comes to like politics and stuff, it's like, you think different than me? Fucking no. Get out of here. The canceled fucking, and that does nothing for us. That just allows us to be stupid in our own thought and allows us to never be wrong, which is, is not good. Like me and Brian and Finney were actually chatting about this back and forth. And this is something that I've been trying to really do myself, is like try to be wrong so I can learn to try to be right, better at being
I can see where Brandon wrong, might. I can see where Brandon might struggle with that.
That's
not a dig. That's not a dig. Just for the record. I like Brandon very much. He's been on my show. I don't know him super well, but he's been on my show a couple of times, and I like him tremendously. Just
one
for
of
the record,
the most independent thinkers that I know, and has and altered his stances to keep up with data and facts. So I think that for me is super important. But I agree in the aspect that, like, I think he gets hung up on the facts at hand from his perspective. And then it becomes very much about proving that point. And the only reason I say that is because I'm that guy. And I totally relate. But
well, we all are.
It doesn't do any good for me, though. You know what I mean? Like, it makes me have a harder time in life because I'm obsessed with getting my point across to somebody who's going to read parts of it and jump around the mm-hmm. paragraph, maybe get to the end and be like, yeah, he had the right idea or he didn't. Like, whose mind am I really changing shouting into the void via binary text? That's the other problem. Nobody hears mm-hmm. sarcasm or anything, any inflection.
Right.
So they're just going to hear, you know, that like angry version of what they think the person said. And I think that, like, you know, when Brandon and me talk about it, like in person, like, he's totally on board with that. And I think he's on board with it in general. I just think that it's hard for people to recognize that through computer because he says things in a very pointed way. Like, this is fact. And mm-hmm. I do the same fucking thing because I'm very opinionated and strong-minded about certain things that I'm just like hard, you know, I'm a very anti-cognitive dissonance. If I'm wrong about something, I want to know why. I want to know how I can learn about it. And am I really wrong and why? What's the reasons? What's the metrics? Yeah. What's the data? What's the stuff I can read about? What's the stuff I can waste my time learning about? Get stuck in a, you know, spiral on Reddit, you know?
But yeah, people generally don't want to do that. People treat politics like it's a team sport, you know? It's all red versus blue.
Or yellow. And that's been my thing lately. Yeah. It's like, are we just going to turn into the other parties? Because that's what we're going to do. Like, I say this as a we because I freaking joined and registered as a libertarian, a registered libertarian who's voting Democrat in the main election. But, you know, this election is just not that election for me. And every other election has always been. And they've always got my vote before. So I don't feel bad at all when people fucking are just like, you know, don't let you get to yourself too. You know the reason why you're voting is, and it's not based on issue, right? Neither one of us think that Joe Biden's chock full of policy, golden, life-changing experiences. Like, it's gonna be the same shit Obama pushed down our throats, and with a little bit of 1994 crime bill squeaked in to get those Trump voters. He's not going to be the most progressive president. No, absolutely not. And I think Bernie is very naive to think that that's going to happen. So, again, I understand where guys like Brandon are coming from with that. Like, no, I'm not going to continue to vote for that. But that's fine. But what happens when your fucking kids don't have a school to go to and they're shooting in the streets? Like, we are close to that. And people don't want it. They're burying their heads in the sand about it. We are on the brink of a civil war, and I don't like saying that, and I don't say it lightly in any way, shape, or fucking form. But it is literally to the point where we have somebody who is saying, regardless of the election and how we've always done things for hundreds of years, we're going to do things the way I think because I don't think I was given a fair shake. It's like, no, dude, that's not how things work here in the United States. This is in
look what just happened to Gretchen Whitmer, governor of Michigan. You know, I mean, she was almost kidnapped by these militia groups. And, you know, Trump, I mean, you can barely even call them dog whistles or coded language. I mean, he's pretty, it's pretty not obvious.
Dog whistles or coded language. It's blatant. He said, fucking stand back and stand by to fucking white nationalists. Yeah. Yep. And, you know, call them full on racist or just regular white nationalists. I still think white nationalists are racist, but
I do
too. Semantics, maybe or maybe not. I don't fucking know my opinion. Yeah. Not going to get into that with most people, but I still think that that the whole fucking thing is just gross to me. The America, fuck yeah, we all weigh 400 pounds and fuck our cousins thing is just not my idea of a good time. And if we keep going down that road of, you know, a lack of education and just disregarding fact and disregarding reality, we are going to find our ways of the Romans, you know?
Yeah.
Anywhere close to that. Yeah. You know, in time.
Yeah. We got to be the most anti-science of the modern industrialized nations. I mean, it's like pulling teeth.
The fucking metric system.
Yeah.
Period. It's just metric system. That's it. Everything else is just fucking downhill from there. You know, people like, you're still using the fucking King's stand. They measured their feet system. Are you serious? Holy, they measured the foot of the local king system.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah.
Another win for America. Like high fructose corn syrup and, you know, subsidizing dairy and bailing out the auto industry after they fucked everybody and the fucking Wall Street. It's very American of us. I love our country. I love our country. So, you know,
I love it. I love it less than I used to. This is something I've never said on my show, but I'll say it here. I think I'm comfortable saying it here. Cause we're not taking calls from listeners on here. So I can say this without people calling up and screaming at me about it. I've always loved my country. I've always been patriotic, not like some people's version. You know, people hear that word and they think, oh, so you love war and you hate immigrants. No, it's not that kind of patriotism. But I've always believed in America and, you know, the American dream, quote unquote, whatever it is for each individual and whatnot. And the idea that you can be and become and accomplish anything in this country, which I actually still believe fundamentally. So there's a lot of things about America.
Liberty,
I really
and the
believe
pursuit
in.
Of happiness, right?
Yes. Yes. I've always bought into all of that. I mean, I think it's gotten tougher over the decades and there's a lot of economic data that shows that, but I still believe you can do anything and become anything. So in that regard, I still believe in America, but I don't have the same love for my country that I did pre-COVID because I look at how hard it is to get Americans to work together, to accept fucking science, to put on a goddamn face mask, to social distance, to not in the middle of a global pandemic flood the fucking beaches in the summertime because we're young. So what if we get it? So what if we bring it home to our grandparents and they end up dead? We're too sociopathic to give a fuck because we're America. I'm pretty sure I've never said this publicly. I've said it privately to people, but I don't think I love my country anymore because I look at America now. I look at my country as being full of anti-science, tinfoil hat wearing, narcissistic, sociopathic douchebags. And it's in my face every day. It's in my face when I walk into a store and one or two people are wearing a face mask. Oh, look, there's an employee who works here wearing one on his chin, you know, because you got the people who, well, I'll wear it because I have to, but I'm going to be a fucking douchebag about it and wear it on my chin because I still love to make a point.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Fuck that. I hate that. They're the worst. They're the fucking worst.
Absolutely abhorrent.
I don't love my country. And I have fallen out of love with America. I'm so goddamn disappointed in America. And I hate feeling that way.
Yeah. That's how I feel. I think everybody hates feeling that way. And that's why I am almost positive that Trump will definitely lose this election because even people that voted for him are like, no, I can't do this anymore. This has gotten real bad. I don't want to, take us away from that thought. But I kind of understand what you're saying there because look, man, I used to be very anti United States, like anti-patriotic, like,
yeah.
Blue hair, you know, listening to DRI, punk rock was everything. And I hated establishments. I have a tattoo of an anarchy sign still on my arm and everything, like right down to that. Like I got that when I was young and I still have that reminder of who I was. Never gonna get that covered because it's just my life exists in chaos and tattoo says chaos, you know? And for me, it's so funny because things have shifted in a lot of ways where I became in a lot of ways patriotic to an extent because I love the shit show of our country as the melting pot that it is. I don't love us for our worst. I do love us for our best. And I think that it's the times that I've been in a jam and somebody, some kind person broke through any necessary, you know, they didn't need to do anything for me, but they mm-hmm. just blasted right through that and helped anyway.
Yeah.
And in those moments, we're never discussing pro-life. We're never discussing cannabis or, income inequality, trans rights. In that moment, right. we're recognizing the other person is in a bad spot and they know what it's like to be in that bad spot.
Right. It's about humanity and not politics.
That empathy, right? So I think that
yeah.
there's been this supercharge of empathy and a super yeah. opposite, right? It's gone. Everything is mirror balance. Like you've got your, you know, moving forward and moving negative in entropy, but you've got that polarized people are, you know, there and really passionately trying to help, and almost like empathy's on overload, safe spaces to the max. Like you can't talk to me like that or else I'm going to fucking die if you do.
Right. Versus, right. Yeah.
Fuck you. I'll say whatever I want. And I fucking hope it gets back to your mother. And I hope they die too. That type of mentality. It's gotten so right. bad and so polarized on both ends that.
Yeah.
But when you strip all of that, why is it that way? Right. What's the reason yeah. that's charging that? And I think that what I don't love is how easily we've let ourselves become scapegoated mm-hmm. by somebody who has no fucking interest in bettering this country.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're a libertarian, a Democrat, or a Republican, somebody yeah. from each fucking party does not like that guy.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And usually there's at least the party that overwhelmingly is going to support their own guy, but there's overwhelming amounts of people that are Republicans that aren't supporting him. A lot of libertarians that aren't supporting him. And then plenty that are, that just want to see the world burn. And then you've got the, you know, people that just don't want to see
yeah.
the world
burn,
you know,
yeah.
people who have
yeah.
kids, people that they want better for their world. And I think that what can happen is that we can come together through something like this, something mm-hmm. awful like this, something that we can really pull back and see it for what it is and be like, wow,
yeah.
we fucked up. But are the Democrats at hand for that task? Can they do that? That's the question. Say they get it. They're going to get it. Biden's going to get it.
Yeah.
But what happens yeah. if he doesn't do what he needs to fucking do? Like everybody knows he needs to do, and including the cops, including the judges, including the Republicans and the Democrats, the conservatives, the liberals, the independents, all knew that that guy needs to do, like really stop giving so much freedom to elites and power is what needs to happen. There needs to be reins on yeah. control. And if that doesn't happen, that's it for the United States. I guarantee you, if he doesn't yeah. keep his words and shit, like, we mm-hmm. trusted you when we had no one else to trust. You were the last hope that these people had. And you broke that. That's worse yeah. than anything Obama did with the drinking of the water in Flint. Nothing compares to that if he does everything that Trump said he would do.
Right, right.
So that's a dangerous line that he's got to walk, because he's flip-flopped on plenty of issues in the past, or come around on issues if you're an optimist. I want to believe that he wants to make this country better, but there are things yeah. that obviously I'm going to vote for him. He's got my vote.
Yeah.
Fucking lucky yeah. asshole. Every time they call me, yeah, I don't want to fucking vote for him. I don't like it, but I'm voting for him. So fuck off. Stop calling me.
Right. Right.
It's like, you know, I'm like, do you want me to call people? I'll call them. You really want yeah. me to call people? I'll call them. I'll tell them exactly what I really think.
Yeah.
Talk about
yeah.
1994 crime bill and everything. I don't think you want that. I'm like, but then again, I might still get them to vote for him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm pretty convincing when I'm being honest about how I feel, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm just being honest. I'm being like, I don't want my kid to have no future. A wasteland of discarded belongings, have you. You know, like Amazon packages for everyone, but, you know, we're eating out of dumpsters.
So if you notice my head bobbing a little bit, we have a roommate who is an extraordinarily talented musician, stunningly talented, and he's playing something on his keyboard right now that I really like. And I've told him that if he composes something for my show, I would love to freshen up my show with a new theme song. And I cannot help but wonder, because he wasn't playing a couple minutes ago, I can't help but wonder if on his way between the bathroom and his bedroom, if he heard my little rant a minute ago and was like, I know what Matt would like for music. Because it sounds really impressive what he's playing.
No, I could hear that in the background a little bit there. And I didn't notice you rocking out to it, but I
couldn't help it.
I did kind of hear that a little bit when we were talking there. I'm like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. That's funny you said it, because as a musician, like, those things always like stick right out to me. Like if I hear explosions in the sky randomly playing in a movie, I'm just like, oh, that's like distracted, like squirrel.
You know,
if I hear something that sticks out that I like, I'm like, ooh, what's that?
What is that?
It's a cat food commercial? Seriously, that's where the money's at as a musician. People have been doing it all wrong. That is true. Trying to become famous on YouTube. Cat food commercials. Jingles.
right.
You know, I think that your perspective is really, really kind of a great contrast for me, kind of to be able to bounce off, because I've really been struggling with some of this myself. I'll be very straight and honest, like I always am. I feel gross about voting for Joe Biden, to be completely honest with you. I don't think that I think he's helped put us in a position to be where we are when it comes to the 1994 crime bill and these decisions that he made in the past, because he thought it was the right thing to do to reach across the aisle, because it was the 90s. So
yeah,
I get there was that. A lot, you know, of remember that. It was a different time. Nobody was in support of gay marriage. Very few people were in support of gay marriage, I should say.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders being like one of them.
The
whole world was like, what was Massachusetts was the first state I remember, because Massachusetts and New Hampshire for gay marriage.
Oh, we were. Yeah.
Was it us?
I don't remember. I feel like Mass would have been first.
I was pretty sure Massachusetts, and I don't know this for a fact, but just living here when I was, you know, I was 8 or 9, I think. But I remember, you know, my mom and dad were friends with a couple who lived below us, and they had their marriage in New Hampshire, and I want to say that was in the 90s, so had to be before that when Massachusetts.
No, New Hampshire. No, we Mass New Hampshire didn't legalize. It must have been Mass, because we.
It must have been Mass. I mean, I was a kid, so I don't. It is kind of hazy, but they lived in Portsmouth, so I must have just assumed that. That it was New Hampshire that they got married, because they lived there. But and I know they got married, but I don't know how it works out. But I was, you know, that was a big deal at the time.
Yeah.
Because I was 8 and I had no idea why two women were getting married. And I was just like, they were really nice. And they let me, you know, go on AOL at their house all the time. And then that's all I knew. I mean, I was 8, you know, so I was just like, oh, okay. And it was just, my mom just always like normalized it. Like, people love each other.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. And I'm just like, okay. And luckily I kind of got to grow up in that kind of mind frame, you know?
Yeah.
I was raised by a woman who, you know, is very hippie, free to be you and me. Both of my parents kind of were. So, but there's a lot of benefits to that.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing. It gives you kind of a flexibility to not have your spirit crushed by conforming to, you know, having to be a football player or something ridiculous.
At the
same time, I kind of had a little too much freedom as a kid when I was younger. I love my mom and my dad, God rest their souls, but they let me get away with a little too much when I was too young, and that's the other side.
Oh, really?
Of it, right? Yeah, is I got in trouble, I think, a little bit more than I probably would have had they not let me be so free to do whatever I want at a young age.
Well,
I went on a tangent again, I think.
Yeah, that's all right. But yeah, I've never had children. It's such a, like, how do you, I mean, you're a parent. I don't know how you figure out, like, how much freedom is too much freedom. And, you know, I mean, that's, there's try, an example of another. Yeah.
It's just a tightrope.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never had to deal with trying to figure that out.
Yeah. I mean, especially as my son gets older too, it becomes this like balance of like, I don't want to be too harsh. Because I want to be empathic, because I feel like the world isn't enough, but at the same time, I need to be consistent in, you know, life isn't smooth sailing, you know? So
yeah,
there's that as well. There's that balance. I've never believed, I always thought that, like, you know, hitting your kid was kind of a weird move, right? Like, your kid who's so young and innocent, right? And then, they get out of line, and then the way to teach them to not do it is to use physical hitting, like violence. So they're now afraid of you and resent you and are less likely to listen to you and trust you. And I just,
and then you've taught them that that's how you resolve conflict is through violence. Bingo. That's the other problem with it. Yeah.
Right. Well, if you look at all these kids now, they're all pussies nowadays, and it's because we don't beat them anymore. That's the other argument, right? And I think that's such a lazy fucking argument. It's
agreed.
Let's try not to fucking, you know, think at all. No critical thinking necessary when it comes to the continuity of the human fucking race. You know, just beat them. Beat them until sounds an awful lot like what they used to do to slaves. Do what we want you to do, or we'll just beat you. Do it, or I'll fucking spank you.
Not to mention, you know,
just kind of fucked up that you like all right, here's an example. Like, I can't go out and hit somebody. I can't go out and slap. I can't even spit on them. Right? It's assault. But if I were to do it to my kid, not spit on my kid, but if I slap my kid in the face, which would be considered assault to him, at what age, where's the gray area? When does it stop being, you know what I mean? That's the other thing too, is you're physically hitting another person to get your point across, but it's against the law as assault, but it's okay to do to our kids in certain circumstances. It's just such a fucking weird move, weird hill to die on, right? Like, I beat my kids. What? Like, what the fuck? Right. Are you serious? Like, I that's what I do. I beat them until they fucking listen to what I have to say. And fuck you, Timmy. You spilt the milk again, you stupid shit. Like, what the fuck is that? Who the fuck does that? You know? I've never really understood that whole thing. Yeah. And it's so freaking toxic.
Yeah.
Buddy, I'm in the middle of a podcast. I need you to kind of scoot. Love you. See, as I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I go and beat my kids. Like, beating your kids wrong. Get out of here. I'm doing a podcast.
Well, I thought.
What's that, Gavin? I know. I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of a podcast, kiddo. So. Yes, you can have your electronics slid under the door. It's 2020.
Oh, there you go.
People love electronics. Have fun. I'll have the switch though. All right. Well, that was fun. But you know, I've seen Andrew Yang do it on his podcast. So I'll let it slide. No, I'm just kidding. That's my,
beat his kid. Oh no.
No. Yeah. No, just hand him electronics. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that either. Here's kid every now and then screeching in the background. I'm like, see, that's so fucking relatable.
I love
so much. Cause it's like, he's not fazed by it at all. He's just kind of like, yeah, I get kids in the background. They're kids. I have a family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's kind of the thing too. Like, it's like kids don't, we got on this tangent about kids, but they don't just fit into boxes that you like just now, like Gavin, you know, he's bored. He's out there. He's not gonna, you know, leave me alone until I kind of address his issue, even though he knows and he's probably taking him everything to not involve.
See,
himself.
We just have these cats, which interestingly enough, as I'm sure you know, they love to be in boxes.
Absolutely. They really do. You could get them all the coolest toys and cat houses and ramps in the world. And
yep,
the box they came in. And I know that is a cliche that everybody knows, right?
I'm just
regurgitating air at this point, talking about cats, but I love cats. And that's what cat transmission's all about. We talk about cats.
There you go.
I love cats. My boys are right here. I call them my boys because Gavin calls them his boys. He'll come in and he's like, "Where's my boys?" He feeds them all the time. He's such a good cat dad. So I definitely have always been a cat person. I like dogs too, but kids,
me too.
I like other people's kids / dogs.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want to have them. I love my son. I just would probably not have any more considering the state of the world on fire. And then, you know, there's that. But then also like dogs, like I feel like are an immense amount of responsibility.
Yes.
If you're not ready to have a dog and treat it like a kid for the rest of its life, because it's a 4-year-old that just doesn't grow up, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And they're great. They're cool, but they are, well, where are we going? What are we doing? Oh, right. All the time, you know, and if they want to know, and they're babies and they need to be taken care of. But they are that way because we have evolved them that way. We are responsible for their evolution, and we have a responsibility to them as creatures now, in my opinion. Man's best friend, well, they rely on us now because of what we've done to them genetically. I mean, right down to the pug's breathing issues. Like they wouldn't be able to survive in the wild.
Right.
Those animals would not be able to survive. The apocalypse happens and those dogs are fucked, dude. They're not going to survive.
Yeah, that's true.
Other dogs, they might figure it out, and they actually would probably become the dominant species in that scenario. Possibly. Yeah. Them and the octopus.
Oh my.
Yeah. That's that's a whole other animal, dude. That's, I mean, literally.
Really?
Oh, well. No, I mean, that's a whole other conversation, you know, a whole other animal. Literally, no pun intended.
I get it. Oh boy. Oh,
dad jokes, man. That's what
Well, you are you're a father, you know.
That's what I do. I live inside the lame. I get reminded all the time how lame I am. I never thought that was going to be the case, right? I thought at this point I'd be playing in front of crowds of people and probably not, cleaning cat vomit off the floor.
Well, if it makes you feel better, no one's really playing in front of crowds of people right now. Oh, so, absolutely. There you go.
No. I think that's kind of ironic in its own way that everything kind of happened the way it was. And I can't imagine what it's like to be working musicians right now. It's got to be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I haven't really been paying that much attention to it selfishly because I've been thinking about all of the other stuff kind of politically, and I'm like, yeah, but musicians, like, it hasn't impacted me a great amount because we still practice as a band and I just like to play music. If it's in front of people, there's an energy about that. That's great. I just like to play music in general. So as long as I get to do that, I'm usually pretty happy. But there is the thing about, not being able to play in concerts, it sucks. And especially for a monetary position that I can't even wrap my head around. It's already hard to be an artist in that fashion. So
yeah, absolutely. Do you have music online of your newer stuff?
With the Ambient Discord, we have a couple of videos that we kind of roughly put together, but for the main reason that we didn't want to release any of the stuff that we've been DIY recording ourselves. So we've been kind of going the route of we didn't want to spend money in a studio when we could do it ourselves, and what we need to do doesn't need to be super polished. Our sound already isn't that super polished band. This is very verse chorus verse type structures and stuff. So if we have a good clean tight sound, we're not going to need super mastering or anything. I think in my opinion for these songs, we're not doing super complex stuff with the I guess the mastering editing portion, and it's going to sound really good and clean and clear, but it's very reminiscent of the 90s, you know, and yeah. that type of just putting songs together and just putting them on an album and putting them out.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
I you know, for me, it's always kind of been the thing is it, we like, and then Rust in Transit, we never charged anybody for music. We paid for an album and recorded it, and then we just gave it away free online. So, I mean, that stuff is online on the Reverb Nation website. But for the Ambient Discord stuff, we're guessing probably in about a month or two, I think we're hoping to have that album, full album release. So, and all recorded by us. So we'll see how good the quality comes out.
Awesome. It's not awesome.
As much my strength as some of the editing stuff I like to do, I know a little bit about, yeah. but our drummer Dante, he's really good at going in and making stuff sound really crisp and clear and stuff that I don't even know about DAW softwares and stuff. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, that it transitions to this stuff, right? So learning how to do video editing and podcast editing has been a little bit of a challenge. And the video side of things, because I haven't used much video editing software before.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
So, you know, this is very easy because Zoom helps a lot with that, just taking stuff and putting it all together for the video to make it easy to edit, easily packaged formats.
What do you use? So obviously, so you record the video with Zoom. Mm-hmm. And then what do you use to edit?
iMovie, just because I haven't really used anything outside of that. And it's very similar to Logic, which I am familiar with. Everything is the same. Really like that. That was really, I mean, there's some definite differences because you're working with video and audio, but like the split and, you know, how you... copy and connect and stuff is all pretty much the same. But it's coming from a layman's terms too, because I have Logic, you know, Pro X that I'm running through for pretty much anything that I do. And now with Mac, the MacBook has been very, a really good opportunity, I guess, to learn some of the softwares in conjunction with, you know, the hardware or whatever, because I'm not as familiar with computers in general, to be completely honest.
I know
enough to get around, but it's a lot, you know. I liked with this is just, and what I like about Logic or anything Apple related, this is very user intuitive, makes it easier for people who don't know as much about it.
I'm always curious about that because I haven't waded into like needing to edit video, but it's, you know, something I think about, you know, for, you know, when I do something like that, you know, like the podcast I was telling you about that I'm thinking about starting, you know, it might be a video thing.
That's kind of, I'm in a similar boat, like, where I'm trying to do a couple other things with YouTube, but it's, the only thing I've done before on YouTube has been with Cuffy Proctor, just the, you know, vlog videos in my phone.
So
this has been the first kind of wading into trying to use like the DSLR and it's just, there's a lot of troubleshooting and I am just not tech savvy. So, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I guess I am to an extent. I worked at Radio Shack for 2.5 years. So I kind of had to learn a little bit. Aspect, you know, but that was in 2008, so everything's changed. And anything I did know, other than useless battery knowledge, right out the window.
That's one thing, though, with all this technology, that is something that I have been happy about. And excuse me. We're very fortunate with COVID. We're fortunate in one sense that this happened when it happened. In the year 2020, because we have all this technology that allows people to stay connected, to continue to be, you know, even at the height of the quote unquote lockdown.
Think of that. Yeah. Holy.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Because if this had happened when I was a kid, I mean, you know, my parents and I would have been, you know, and there was like a lockdown or
could you imagine like an alternate universe kind of in which this happened in, 1990 instead of 2020 or something like that?
How weird
that would be.
Yeah. I just imagine like my parents and I being like, I guess we should dig out the box of VHS tapes in the basement.
We're going to have to cut this. We're going to have to cut this out of the podcast. And we're going to, because people are going to steal your idea. That's a good idea. You should take that to Hollywood, my friend.
That is
a good idea, dude. An alternate reality in which the pandemic hit. But if people would watch that. You know, people would watch that as long as there's some bad actors. Yeah. Go ahead. I mean,
I wonder.
It doesn't even matter. Netflix put some serious hot garbage out there, and people are like, "Ooh, I love the whatever the fuck it is."
Oh, I know.
OE or whatever, OA, it's garbage. Sorry, the acting is just—it was just trash fire, and I'm just like, "Oh, that's not acting." I'm like, "Who am I to say, right?" But, yikes.
Yeah.
Like I can put up with some stuff, but
I wonder if people would even know, like pre-internet, would people even know to stay home? Because, you know, if people get all their news just from the newspaper and watching the nightly news at 6 o'clock, would people even know what was going on? Like, or would people just be walking around oblivious? Like I heard something about a bad plague or
think
something.
About it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like how would that work? Cause information doesn't. Ah, wow. That's so wild, man. I love this. Whole concept, man. This is a mind blower. Actually, I love this type of stuff because it really is a whole other realm of possibility we didn't take seriously, right? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. We can't happen to us. We're fucking Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a fucking AR-15 in my closet. Rah, rah, rah. You know, like, dude, I'm an American. I have apple pie on my fucking window and hopefully some bear doesn't steal it. Fucking. Dude, we can't get sick. I got to go to school tomorrow. You know, my kid's going to go to school tomorrow. I got to go pay the bills. Like I'm going to be sick at work and get everybody else sick. Cause that's what men do.
Right.
Fuck, man. Fuck off with that shit. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
This whole like I gotta be tough guy kind of thing, you know, is just for the birds.
Mm-hmm.
For the birds. Like I understand like the whole like I don't want to be told what to do. I don't agree with mask mandates. I don't agree with mandates for anything. I don't believe the government can tell us to do what we want to do with our own bodies. But look, I do think that everybody should just stop being idiots because putting masks over your face is so everybody also puts the masks over their faces when they have snotty fucking noses and shit. It's not so much because you are even sick or that you're going to be protected from breathing it in. It's because you don't want Elmer Fudd fucking retard that shouldn't probably even have a fucking gun. Sorry. There are some people in this world that probably can't have a license. Yeah. Maybe shouldn't have a gun.
Just those people who shouldn't own it.
I don't know. Yeah. Libertarians.
There's people. Who shouldn't own a toaster. You know. Yeah.
Fucking thank you. There's some people that shouldn't breathe oxygen. I'm sorry. I have to say it, but it's just they're just inept, and they will continue to make other people worse off because of their inability to, you know, just recognize a color. You know what I mean? Like cognition is important.
Yes.
Basic understanding is super, super important. And I just feel like maybe it's not about us individually and like, oh, I feel stupid with a mask on, or I don't want to be told what to do with a mask on, or if it's so safe, blah, 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 this and that. Or like, and I've heard like Brandon say this a lot too. And I'm just like, dude, no, I don't think that that's what the big deal is. The big deal is that like, it's not you and me and Matt. It's fucking Evan fucking Post in Rochester hustling people for fucking change. That dude.
I remember him.
Should have a fucking mask on his face.
remember him. Is he still
and
around?
He doesn't want to not put the mask on his face because if he doesn't have a mask on his face, he looks kind of like a dink to everybody else because they all have a mask on his face. Maybe he has no self-awareness, yeah, and then he'll get ridiculed for it. But yeah, it's for those idiots. It's not for us, you know, upstanding people who know enough to pop in our fucking elbow, dude. You know, like
that's an actual guy, right? If Evan Post
is, the guy's a complete dipshit, and I don't feel bad slandering him on here. He can come at me with a fucking lawyer. I'm not really slandering him. I'm just saying he's a dipshit.
Yeah, I remember him from.
It's just a fact. He hustles people for money, and he threatens people. Yeah. He threatened me, and he threatened my pregnant wife at the time.
So, really?
Yeah, yeah. Because we were sitting in a Home Depot, and like, oh motherfucker, that's the last thing you want to do. Kid's fucking complete piece of work, man. And I don't hate him for it. He's just had a rough life, right? He's gotten a shit end of the stick, and but also hasn't done anything to try to better himself. But also, due to the education system in this country have failed people like him, have failed the mental health system, have failed people like him, have failed people all over the place like them. And they're the reason, that's the reason that shit exists. So if we're going to have systems, they got to be good ones.
Yeah.
If they're going to exist at all, like well, let's go for broke and make them good.
Right. That's an idea.
No, we could just not have them or have them work. No, we're gonna go for mediocre shit in the middle. Sounds good to me. It sounds like a fucking boss time.
Hey, it's like my parents always told me growing up. They said, Matt, you don't have to be good. You just have to be good enough.
That's it. That's it.
And I try to live by that.
That is awesome. I live by that,
Mark. Every day when I get up, I look at myself in the mirror and I say, Matt, you're not going to be good today. You're certainly not going to be great, but I think you might be good enough. And then I'm ready to start my day.
That's funny. I actually, on my mirror, I had written like that, you know, that super self-motivational stuff, but I wrote in you are enough in there. Cause it's just pushing through that stuff, you know, is just, it's a bitch some days. And in some days it's just enough, like doing enough matters, you know,
and the
times you can't get through here's another thing that this is another tangent. I don't mean to sidetrack, but the thing that would be beneficial about Joe Biden falling into the place of the presidency is I think there's goods and there's negatives, but because of the mental health is a big thing that is it's like, I hate to say this, but like Hollywood and whatnot are using the race thing to make money. Companies are using the race thing to make money. They're also using the organic lifestyle thing to make money and the vegan thing to make money and the fucking trans LGBTQ thing to make money. And people who have disabilities they'll use whatever they can to make money. It's an engine and they don't stop there. They're going to continue doing that with pretty much everything. What were we just talking about? Because I went on a tangent there.
Oh,
it's bad. I do this to myself.
Were you talking about? You were talking about mental health and
mental health. Bingo. So
we
need to not have a stigma in the United States that around mental health. And I think if Biden became president, that it would be very likely that there would be some sort of psychiatrist or something in the White House that is popular and trendy. I hate to say it. Democrats are going for that. They're fucking kneeling with fucking those fucking, you know, those scarves that they were wearing. They just looked ridiculous.
Right.
And it's just like, fucking no, we want you to fix shit, not fucking kneel with scarves. Right. You know, it's the same kind of thing.
I thought that was a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
a bit much. It was pandering.
That's it. It's gross to see that because people don't want that. Yeah. It's not helping,
right?
And they're not really doing anything there, you know. And if it is what the BLM community or the Black community wants, then I understand it. But it doesn't sound like that's what they want. They want real reform and changes,
right?
Which makes fucking sense, man. But anyway, I guess where I was going is that the mental health thing is something that I think will come into play and will be super popular, because it is popular with the bases and it should be, because it needs to change. I think that,
yeah,
the mental health piece, we don't need to coddle people. That's not the point. We need to accept mental health as a real fucking thing. It's a real illness that most of the time is what exacerbates drug use. It's not that people are bad people naturally and they just want to be fucking shitheads. It's that,
of course, yeah,
people have become more alienated, separated, less jobs, less hope, less income, less everything. And depression becomes more of a reality. And what are you going to do to get those endorphins back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Certainly not
especially able to now
healthy if you're in a food desert, you know.
right like, yeah, oh yeah, especially now. The mental health is more important than ever, and but there's progress. It doesn't have the same stigma that it did, so it's getting better.
It's moving. I mean, and it needs to, because it's broken still, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with depression, and I feel much more free to be able to openly discuss it now than I did 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. You know, I'm pretty open about it now, and I'm kind of like, yeah, I struggle with it, and if somebody wants to judge me for it, you know, whatever, fuck them. I don't care.
Makes them a shitty fucking human being.
Yeah, exactly.
It just makes them a terrible person.
Exactly. Whereas at one time I certainly didn't have that attitude. It was more like, oh, I can't let anybody know.
Oh, you know, same.
I gotta be the tough guy.
I think I definitely, especially, you know, talking about right down to talking about struggles that my wife had and whatnot. Yeah. Like, it's tough because you have the family piece too, where you don't want to air personal stuff. And at the same time, like she was a very private person. So airing her personal stuff is hard too. But there's also this piece that I think she would want people to get help. Mm-hmm. From her experience and what she went through, and to know that she never went and got help from a doctor for struggling with alcohol because she was depressed, because she never got her postpartum taken care of because of her anxiety about going to a doctor.
Yeah.
It's just this, this awful thing that happened that,
it
was exacerbated by substance use, because All of these things are what's happening to everyone across the United States right now. And now with the job loss, if people don't think that that's going to happen in an exponential manner, it's horrible. Yeah. It's fucking horrible. And this fucking president, this fucking TV, this reality baby, you know, of a person tantruming. It's abhorrent. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
He's caused people to die, and in more ways than just COVID. The ramifications of his presidency are going to be so exponentially awful. And I think that everybody can shit all over Obama and everybody else the way they want. And Obama made a lot of mistakes, and there's things about Stuxnet and all this stuff that he definitely screwed up, but not like this.
No,
you know,
no.
I feel like that.
I mean, I think
that,
Trump is.
Sorry,
I was just going to say, I think Trump is the worst possible president we could have had at this moment dealing with COVID.
In time.
He is. I mean, Nixon would have been better.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. That's not even an argument. He definitely would have. I mean, taking into the cultural disconnections between the two timelines, and, you know, you've got decades in between, but yeah. He would have. He would have put the country first. He did by stepping down. He knew that he was wrong, and he was caught with his pants down. And he stepped down.
Yeah.
I give him more respect than I do Trump.
Yeah, me too.
And he caused a lot of people to die too. And, you know, like in our kind of, you know, connection, like, he was corrupt too, you know?
Here's my other cat.
Oh, is that the black kitty?
Yeah,
Yeah.
He wouldn't stay though. He's being playful. He's like running around, but he hopped up here for a second. Yeah.
That sounds like these two in like 5 hours from now.
Yeah.
You'll be running around and I'm like, it's the morning. But yeah, that's it's just crazy. It's crazy to think that this guy, you know, it felt happened to be the guy to manage all this shit. And they put Mike Pence, who botched the HIV thing in his own state. Like, there's just so many. I mean, it just comes down to the guy has no self introspect. He can't look at himself and recognize any faults. He has zero faults, which is obviously impossible, which means he's a narcissist. There's no arguing that. Like, the people who argue with that are just drinking the fucking Kool-Aid because he's never admitted a fault. Has he ever?
Right.
And if he never has admitted a fault publicly as the president, means he doesn't believe he has any faults. If he doesn't believe he has any faults, that means he's a narcissist. It is a fact. This is one of those things that, like, alternate facts don't exist.
Right. I've felt from the beginning he suffers from narcissistic personality disorder.
For sure.
Yeah.
But that's so incredibly dangerous. How did this happen?
Yeah.
So a collection of the economic state, before the coronavirus, AI, all of those things that paved the way for somebody like him to fall into that position, the Electoral College.
Yeah.
People fed up with institutional racism and all of the bullshit. Like, there's a lot of things that I think are a big just shit storm of fuck, like a F5 shit storm tornado of fucking just awfulness that molded into this weird Lysol baby we got going on, you know? Fucking weird. It is bizarre though, right?
Yeah.
Is it even the fucking people who voted for him, could they not say this isn't the most bizarre time?
Yeah.
It's weird. It's gotten fucked.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess, you know, went way off on the thing with Trump there, but I think that the ramifications of all of this are going to be so felt so long, and we could as a planet feel the ramifications of this, not because we're the worst when it comes to a lot of like the carbon production or any of that stuff, that really isn't so much us as some of these other countries, which they get a lot of heat for that, and should. India and stuff, they're not, they're definitely guilty for producing all kinds of greenhouse gases and you know, detrimental shit. So they're not off the hook for that. But what we've done to just move things in the other way, away from science, is just, it's backtracked things so much.
Oh, I know. It's brutal. It's very discouraging. It really is.
Yeah, I think that, you know, really, there's only a couple of ways out of this. And I think that even the voting this election, are you watching the debates?
If they happen,
the third one, because these next ones aren't going to happen.
Right. Yeah. The one, because Trump wouldn't agree to the virtual debate, because if he if he's not going to be able to just talk over somebody, I guess he's not interested. So. So exactly. I guess Biden's going to do a town hall type thing instead. But Trump knows. Good. I mean, I think he's in a panic. He knows he's going to lose. There's no way. I mean, we're only 3 weeks out. Biden's got, I mean, I've seen polls where he's at almost a 20-point lead. There's just no way Trump's going to be able to make up that ground. And Trump is in a constant state of self-immolation. So, you know,
constant from the everything. Like, I mean, this all goes back to the Bible photo shoot after the protesters. It's like, how? I don't mean to laugh about it, but how inept? Like, how bad does he's just so unaware that looked awful. He had no clue that just looked horrible and completely unpresidential and just made him look terrible, as did the debate, as does most of what he does.
Whenever Trump tries to invoke religion in any way, it comes off as so fake. It's so amazing to me that evangelicals have bought in so much, because I noticed very early on, like, I don't know if you've ever seen that one interview with Mark Halpern and who's the other guy? John, I forget his last name now. They wrote the book Game Change together.
I have not.
These journalists. John Heilman, that's the other guy. So they're talking, this is during the primaries. This is after one of the debates, back in 2016. And they're talking with Trump about, Halpern asks him, so, you know, you talk about the Bible, you know, because Trump's trying to appeal to evangelicals. Which book of the Bible do you, he starts out asking him, is there a particular passage or a particular book of the Bible that means a lot to you? Is there a particular
all of them.
Passage
he likes all of them.
Chapter and verse? And Trump's like, yeah, he's like, well, not really. He says, I don't want to get into specifics about that. That's very personal to me. And then Halpern says, well, are you more of an Old Testament guy or do you prefer the New Testament, right? Which is quite a softball, right? Like, I'm a non-believer. I'm almost an atheist. And even I know if I'm running for office how to answer that question, I would say, well, the New Testament, because that's the story of Jesus, right? Ultimate softball. Halpern asks
Old
him
Testament
that question.
Is brutal. I know.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's like a different God in the Old Testament. That's a grouchy God. New Testament God's very nice. But Trump couldn't even get this right. He sits there and he goes, well, I think I like them both equally. It's like, dude, you're so fake. But evangelicals, they buy in. He could not be. There was another thing at a campaign event. He's given at a rally in 2016. Somebody in the audience is holding up a copy of Art of the Deal. And Trump sees that and he goes, oh, Art of the Deal. That's my second favorite book. But you all know what my first favorite is, right? And people are yelling out the Bible. And Trump's like, that's right. The Bible. I love the Bible. And he comes off as so smarmy and fake, like just dripping with insincerity. And
dude,
I know.
How is that guy thinking, from the 80s cocaine parties of the, you know, of New York, like whether he was doing it or not, I know he was supposed to be, you know, he's never done any drugs or whatever, which makes sense. He's completely.
I believe him. I think that's probably one of the few things he's honest about.
I do too, because he's just, you can tell he's never smoked a pot in his life. If he did, he'd have some sort of self-awareness.
Right. I agree.
If he'd smoked pot once, somebody needs to fucking the dose Trump thing. Hashtag dose Trump. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Guy needs to do LSD and just have a fucking earth shattering realization of himself. It'd be awesome for the whole world if somebody just fucking dosed that guy accidentally. I'm not telling anyone to do that because I don't want the Secret Service coming at my house. I do think that he needs to decide to take it himself is what I believe. He needs to have some real, you know, come to Jesus moments. And I mean, aliens in DMT instead. Mm-hmm. Wait, come to Jesus. We'll just take Jesus out and put, you know, Joe Rogan. And it's come to Joe Rogan.
I love
he's
it.
Gotta, he's got to, he's got to, he's got to, he's got to have that. That would be something. Could you imagine an interview between Joe Rogan and Donald Trump? What would that be like? Just those.
I don't know, Trump. Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea of the debate. I know, gross, right? But I kinda wouldn't mind it. I kind of would want to, because the way he deals with Alex Jones.
Yeah.
It's kind of hilarious.
Alex Jones is,
some high too.
But Alex Jones is actually like, Alex is like a real person. You know, Trump is like this weird, I don't know, you know?
I mean, yeah, but I think that he's got his own, like Alex Jones has his own narcissistic issues and stuff too.
Oh, sure.
And he's got his own like person in his head who he thinks he is. And
I think he's a character. I think he's I don't know if you're familiar with Angela Keaton from antiwar.com. She's
not by name.
She's well known in libertarian circles, and I had a conversation with her once. This was years ago. She apparently she knows Alex Jones from way back in Texas, they started out doing a public access television show together about just, you know, being libertarian.
I know about actually. I didn't know. Okay. That was with her. Yeah. So I know about the show. Interesting. Yeah. Keep going.
And when she told me that she knew Alex Jones way back then, I was like, oh, tell me more. And she said, well, what it was, I presented to her, because I've always, even before that conversation, my theory about Alex Jones had always been that he doesn't really believe his own bullshit, that this is a character, this is a persona that he's created, which is obviously hugely successful for him.
That was admitted in court hearing, by the way. Did you know that?
Yes, it was, actually, yes. Which he then, you know, he spun it, Sandy, of course, Hook his thing, followers. Right?
I think, oh, yeah. No, it was his divorce thing.
Right, for custody of his kids, yeah.
Why I Which know I, about that, I don't know, but...
it was in the news. But okay. I asked her about my theory, and she wouldn't say directly that she agreed, but she did say that she knew him way back when, and that back then he was more of a normal guy, and he didn't start getting more into the conspiracy theory side of things until he started making money with it. He got a radio show and stuff, and
yeah,
what once it was successful for him and he started making money and getting some attention, that was when he kind of went with that. So, you know, yeah, I don't think he really believes what he says.
I think though, there's probably some layover though. Like, I don't know, man, this is some really weird shit, right? He goes on Joe Rogan and gets high as fuck and doesn't break character.
Yeah. True.
I just,
good point.
Because he gets blitzed high. He's not a regular smoker, and you can tell because he gets uncomfortable and all of a sudden his schizoparanoia comes out, brought on by the THC. So my thought is that there's a part of it that is deep in him that he didn't let out until he started having a fan base that reinforced his narcissism, that let him be more open with his people and so on and so forth. But he even said himself that what you were just saying, that it's a character he's created. I almost feel like that's a back out, because he doesn't want to get help or be, because if they ever put him on drugs or, you know, commit him or anything like that, that's it for Alex Jones.
That's true. That's true.
You know, because he ain't never going to make it out of that. He's going to get crazy forever. You're right. It could be, who knows? I mean, but here's the thing that is interesting, is some of the valid shit that he's produced. Mm-hmm. Which is almost concerning in some ways.
There is something. What was it? There was some big thing that he actually turned out to be right about, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, it was that weird fucking that weird ritual. Is it
the Bohemian
thing.
Grove stuff?
Yep, bingo. That's it. Bohemian Grove. That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That's the one. I remember that them going back, and there's some legitimacy into this.
Yeah.
And it's just some weird shit, right? But there's been weird shit for a long time in a lot of those secret societies, and I believe it. Yeah. There's truth to every fiction. So even with Donald Trump, like, I think he, in his head, has these certain things that he believes to be true. And then when things don't pan out, he's got to warp it to make sense, because he can't accept being wrong, because he's just not capable of managing that type of, you know, thought process. That would shatter him. LSD would ruin his psyche as it is now. Yeah. He would be a new person if he took one hit of acid once. I guarantee it. It's not even a chance. Like, if he took acid once, he would absolutely, it would change him. It would change his life, and it'd be good for him. Actually, I think maybe he'd learn what empathy is all about. Could you imagine having no empathy and all overnight? Like, because he's got such a buried psyche of years of being probably coddled because he's rich, because he's never had to really worry about any repercussions, any woman he slept with that he, you know, Bush who's passed out and got in trouble for. Like, it's just been smoothed over, I bet. You know, these are speculations. I'm not saying the president did these things. I'm saying that I could see it happening because of his scumbaggery that exists thus far, right down to the bone spurs. Like, he's just...
Right.
he's hard. He's working through the coronavirus. No, he's an ignorant idiot who got a bunch of people sick that could potentially get their loved ones, family members dead. And he's a soft pussy is what he is. He couldn't go to war because of bone spurs. Like, I'm not saying I could have done it. I got shit ankles, but hey, look.
Sure. Sure.
I definitely wouldn't have went the direction that you went. That's for sure. I would have been like, fuck you, I'm going to Canada because I'm not going to fucking join the draft and you can suck my dick.
Right. That's what I mean? Because
I don't believe in this draft. If it was like aliens, I believe in that draft. You know, if there's scenarios, we're getting invaded by China. I believe in that draft. I'll join that draft.
Yeah.
I'll put my fucking arms down for my country that way.
Yeah.
Best I can.
Right.
But with this fucking, like, we're going to go to Vietnam bullshit or Iraq or for oil.
Yeah.
Fuck right off with that shit. And I think that, you know, but that's not where it's coming from, right? He just doesn't want to be bothered. He's got his own rich people things to do. And
it
is what it is, but that's not how it works, right? If you want to, you know, have a moral obligation, moral stance against it, I guess that's a little bit more, I think, better than being just a complete douche about it.
Well, now he's in a panic, of course, because I believe that once he's not president anymore, I believe he's going to be indicted by the state attorney general's office of New York. And I think he's going to end up in an orange jumpsuit. And we already know he's broke, probably. And he owes about $400 million in loans, probably to a Russian oligarch who is depositing the money into an offshore bank that Trump could then withdraw the money from. And that's how he was able to get the money. I mean, winning the presidency is the worst thing that could have happened to him, because now all this shit is collapsing on him. He could have, continued to skate by.
This is interesting. There's this guy that I met and talked to, is from like Rhode Island or Connecticut, and he owns this company called like EQ Beats something. His name's Brennan Lunin, I think. Nice guy. I talked to him. And he, I don't know, I don't know the guy very well. He seems legit, and what he was saying sounds fucking ultra believable. But again, it's just hearsay from somebody I met. Mm. I actually want to get him on the show. I'm going to reach out to the guy. I was talking to him this whole, like, because he was very pro-progressivism and whatnot. I think kind of pro-Bernie. I'm not 100%, but we got into discussion about Trump and, we were both in a lot of agreements there that he's just super corrupt. And I think his family, he said, was from Ukraine. Like, the shit with Trump and Ukraine and fucking not Russia, but Ukraine goes way back, actually, which is really interesting. He's like that he has money into Ukrainian oligarchs for a very lot of money and their own like thing that's connected to the Russian oligarchs. It's this whole thing. And he starts like kind of mapping it out. I'm like, holy shit, that actually, based on the shit that I read from, what was his name there? The book that guy wrote there, the really boring, fucking took me forever to get through. It was an audiobook, even. Not Mueller. No, it wasn't Mueller, obviously. He didn't write, but fucking McCabe. Does that sound right? Some guy. And it just kind of lines up with all the shit that this guy was saying. It's just this random guy I was talking to. Not discounting what he was saying. I just don't know him from all in one. We just got randomly talking about politics. And I'm like, holy shit, these fucking things fit. And I'm like, that's interesting. Like, that would make a lot of sense.
Right?
I think that would make a lot of sense if we find out that they were leveraging all kinds of shit over him. He owes $400 million. That's a lot of money to owe.
Right.
Sitting U.S. president to Russian and Ukrainian oligarchs, if that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly. Yep,
that's a pretty serious national security question. And that, you know, and there's all this speculation too. That's why
How did he end up president? Like, how did Obama and them just kind of let that slide through? Like, where they're just kind of like, they spied on him, obviously. They definitely did that when they said they didn't, and they were doing all that shit. And I'm good. I'm glad they did, because fucking there was obviously some shady shit going on. I kind of feel like that's necessary to kind of scope out fucking criminals, which his own personal lawyer of his entire life turned on him.
Yeah.
And he didn't turn on him. He got thrown under the bus by the guy he represented for his whole life, basically. His whole career was for that man. And then that man threw him under the bus. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to tell him the truth and realize that he'd been drinking the Kool-Aid for far too long. I feel bad for that guy, dude. I actually do kind of feel bad for that guy. When I hear him talk, I think that, like, before, not so truthful. Now, he sounds pretty crashing reality. I think he might have got fucked in jail or something, dude. I don't know. Like, that poor guy looks like he's fucking had some... Oh, shit. Can you still hear me?
So I can still hear you, but I just... it says EOS webcam utility beta on my end.
That is technical difficulty. I'm going to put a picture of the dog over it when we record. This will be really funny. Give me 1 second. I'm going to grab a battery. Yeah. It's my can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can still talk to you, actually, because I'm wearing...
Yeah.
Good thing I have a backup battery. Folks out there, technical difficulties on abstract transmission. This isn't like the fifth time, is it? It is, actually. This is like the 100th time this has happened. But our listeners are super resilient with us.
Yes.
I really am super happy that, like, they stuck by us even like when we weren't able to get things kind of up and running. Let's see if this just pops back on back to normal.
Okay.
Ta-da!
Can't
thank our good friends all over for listening to us. We got a bunch of listeners all over the world, actually, but not like a ton, just a good handful of people that live, but they're just kind of spread out, which I thought was kind of cool. Wonders of Facebook marketing, I think, or they just happened to find us randomly because we start with A. So I'm thinking, B, actually. So
that's
an advantage. I think I didn't think about that until later on. So it might be, but we appreciate everybody for listening and stuff. So, cause it's huge, to stick by when we have been off for a while and then people still being like, dude, when are you guys going to put up a new episode? The Apple iTunes thing was kind of, I had to remove a couple of them cause.
Really?
Yeah. They were, the couple of them were kind of, like they were a little harsh. I got canceled a little bit because I said something a little off color, but yes, I mean, it didn't come from a mean place and I don't give a shit because people say shit randomly and I didn't mean it from a bad place and I'd never mean it, and things are racially sensitive and everything right now too, so I mean I'm conscious of those things, but I would never try to ever have a negative feeling towards somebody unless they were dink. So that's regardless of race, religion, it's not like I don't see color thing. It's that I just don't give a fuck. Like, we're people, we're human beings. We're all built of flesh and bone. We'll all eventually be stardust. So when they're like, you know, everybody's like, all lives matter, I'm like, no, fuck you, buddy. Cause really, if you want to go that way, no lives matter. And we're all going to end up fucking vapor. You know, we're all going to be just fucking vapor into the winds, dude. Stardust that doesn't exist. Part of the collective, if you believe in God, who knows? The point is, there's no permanency here. There's no guarantee. All the belongings and things that we have are just temporary. And at the same time, Black lives absolutely fucking matter. You know what I mean? Like, that shit is just like, for real? People are going to fucking even argue that shit?
Yep.
It's fucked up. So when it comes down to it, that's why I don't understand the cancel culture thing, because you can't cancel some people, right?
You just can't. Dave Chappelle, nobody's going to ever cancel that guy. No matter how many trans jokes he makes, he's not a bad person. And he doesn't mean it from a bad place. He wants to make jokes. That's it. And at the expense of other people sometimes. But it doesn't matter who. Same thing with Louis C.K. Like, it's a fucking not okay shit. Like, I get it. But he's also a human being who's kind of told everybody everything you need to know about him in his comedy.
Right.
Just like, I'm not kidding. This is me. I'm being real. I'm a human fucking being, and I am a gross human being like the rest of you fucking people.
Right.
And I hate to say it, but most people are. They're voyeuristic fucking weird tendencies of the world or human nature. And some are worse than others and sort of more perverted than others. But the fact is that people are human beings and we're organisms here. And in my opinion, kind of by accident. I'm not going to buy into the whole ethereal sky daddy thing personally.
No, me neither. At the same time,
I've always kind of been very... atheist in a lot of ways, right? Some things just change our understanding of what we know as existence. That means I'm not going to abandon science, but I'm certainly a little bit more agnostic than I am, I guess, atheist now because of the one thing, which is I've always been a very like I don't necessarily believe. I believe aliens are a probability, actually, that they're very likely to exist. But are we ever going to come in contact with them? Drake equation, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, UFOs definitely exist, right? Mm-hmm. There's no arguing that. The world's governments have all known about them for a while. We're the only ones that have really been the sheep, kind of dumbed. And all the citizens of the rest of the world knew about this shit. We're the only ones that have not been in the closet about it. That's what's so funny. Yeah. Americans are fucking stupid and we just don't know because we live in a fucking safe space.
Right.
That's right, America. Yeah. You live in a fucking safe space. You didn't know about aliens and everybody else ate your lunch. So we are now finding out that aliens exist, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're human beings from the future. Either way, they can't interact with us. Whatever it is, they're here. They're capable of things that we don't understand, and they're faster than the physics that we understand as species. So moving forward, we kind of have to like demand transparency at every fucking level. Like we have to have transparency. Because it's our species. And if there's another species trying to make contact with us or scared to make contact with us because of our inability to keep our thumb off the fucking trigger, like we need to all be discussing this as a world. And you know, far be it for me to imply the implications, the meanings of all of that with world governments and weird shit, but we have to start changing our understanding of what we think we know, right? And that's where I guess I would go a little less atheist than I was before. Say even my wife passed away. There's some things that just happened in my life that were just unfucking real, that would just have changed my definition of what I understand as somebody who's been a hard science facts metrics person my entire life, but there's some things you can't measure with that shit, so I'm open to certain things, but I certainly don't think, you know, like Kevin Smith in what was that movie, he Dogma, the Jesus Dogma. Do it or I'll fucking spank you, you know,
that's my Jesus. Favorite Kevin Smith movie.
It's awesome, so isn't it? It's one of his best. Absolutely.
So you don't have an imaginary friend who lives in the sky who's trying to decide whether to send you to heaven or hell, is what you're saying.
No, especially not if I fucking decide that I'm attracted to, you know, not so you know, feminine women, or, you know, not so masculine men. Like it's my fucking choice. I haven't really figured that shit out, and I don't really give a fuck to it.
Careful, Jesus doesn't like that. Of course, he never actually said a single word about it in the Bible, but I heard he doesn't like that.
He's watching you.
Yeah, that's right.
He's like, really? Because if so, you're a fucking creep, dude. Like, stay the fuck out of my bedroom. You didn't knock? Like, what are you, Vision from fucking the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Just walk the fuck in whenever you want through the wall. Oh, dick. No, but seriously, like, I'm all for, you know, Jesus, if as an example and this and that, and I get it. Like,
yeah.
No, I don't actually, but I've tried my entire fucking life. I grew up in a Catholic forced Christian forced, like, I had like three different religions forced onto me at a young age, and none of them really panned out. They were all kind of dogmatic and full of themselves and hypocritical, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just, like, it changed my opinion. And then, you know, my mom, regardless though, my mom was always very believed in something. She believed in something. She's not sure what it was, but she believed in something.
Yeah.
So I, hey, look, you have some things in your life that happen that just rock your understanding of what you think you know. I'll tell you, Matt, that shit makes me more hopeful, at least. Especially the UFO thing. It is weirdly to go that direction after talking about, you know, something so you know, life impermanence and stuff. But the UFO thing is so very important part of that, I think.
Yeah.
This is, like, everybody had been saying for a long time that the government's hiding shit. And then they were, right. And now they're admitting that they were.
Yeah. You know, whoever is going to be the next president, if they want to win, whether it's Trump or Biden, all they have to do, if they want to, I really believe this, if they want to win the election. Offer
full UFO disclosure.
Yep. Just come out and say, look, if I'm president, I will tell you everything you want to know about UFOs, and just put it all out there. And whoever says that will win. That'll be it.
Holy shit.
How could you say, I would vote for Trump then? How could I not?
Dude, you know, that's not going to happen though. Right. Cause he already wanted to do that. And that's where Space Force came from. You know it. You know, he was fucking shaking like a nervous chihuahua and needed a piss, dude. He fucking needed to do something. And they're like, you can make Space Force. He's like, Space Force. He's fucking, he just couldn't contain himself because he's a child. But they're like, but no, we'll have you fucking killed if you say anything about aliens. And he's just like, he doesn't have a choice. He'll die. They'll kill him. You know, he's just saying, he knows shadow government don't fuck around. No, you know, I don't know who's the same, you know, but
I do know this, that was the greatest day of his presidency. Let's be honest. When he got to announce the Space Force, that had to be the most fun. That had to be the most fun he's had as president, getting to actually stand at a podium and say that and announce the Space Force.
I'm sorry. I didn't hate it. I didn't.
How could you?
My entire life I've grown up on science fiction, and I was just like, fuck, he's done one thing right. he's done one goddamn, in the legalization of hemp. So two things right. Him and Mitch McConnell, actually.
Yes, had a big
part of that.
True.
So I give credit where credit's due. They suck at life, both of them. So don't get me get me wrong. They are fucking living, breathing pieces of garbage. But they made a broken clock is right twice a day. And they happen to be twice. Because you know, the rest of the whole thing recently with the astronauts thing, that I give no credit to NASA and I give no credit to the United States. That was all SpaceX. Go Elon and your fucking awesome company. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, they figured out the rocket fuel thing, the reusability thing, the whole fucking thing. Like, I love that. He's like, what do we make as human beings? We make shit. What does shit make? Methane. What can we make gas out of? Methyl ox. Booyakasha. It's just awesome. That dude is awesome. Like, his brain is fucking amazing. Okay. Yeah. Einstein. Yeah. Shit on Elon Musk, dude. Seriously, I genuinely believe that. Like, Einstein was beyond his time for his time.
Yeah.
But, like, you're comparing Jimi Hendrix to Yngwie Malmsteen.
Right, right. I know what you mean.
Jimi Hendrix, awesome. Yeah. Yngwie is Yngwie Malmsteen. I can't even pronounce his name correctly. He's
I don't
awesome.
Think anyone knows how to pronounce his name correctly.
Yingwei. I think it's Yingwei or Yingbei.
I think over the course of my lifetime, I've heard it pronounced 36 different ways.
So I've always thought it was Yingwei Malmsteen. That's what I thought. And I don't know. Internet, correct me if you see that I'm going to try to start making clips of this stuff, but internet, help us. In the comment section, I can say that shit now because we have a comment section.
There you go.
It's
you
YouTube.
People do that all the time. Yeah.
I do enjoy that it took me fucking forever. And I mean fucking forever to upload those existing episodes with stock photos.
Yeah.
I was blown away by how long that actually took. It was really kind of a grueling process for something so, you know, because you do them one by one normally and it would be easy, but doing all of them and baking all of them, all 22 episodes, I'm like, okay, this sucks. But I'm glad they're up. They're up there now for everybody to listen to. And I'm glad that we're doing this way, actually. I was a little nervous about this, to be completely honest with you. Not so much nervous about, I miss having Tego as kind of the person to contrast how much I talk over guests.
Oh, okay.
Because the best thing you can do as an interview person is to shut up and listen, you know?
Yes and no.
You can have balance,
I've always preferred, you know, the conversational type thing. And I think that's what podcasts have become anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's much more interesting than the, you know, ask a question and then the other person answers and then you ask another question and the other person answers. I mean, that's like 20 years ago. Absolutely.
Well, in our dynamic, like we're both very talkative and outgoing in that aspect. So we have, you know, that good back and forth, but take somebody like me and you and put them in a room with somebody who doesn't talk a ton. We're going to steamroll right over them, you know, because we have that big personality. And it's not that we're not paying attention. It's just that we have a big personality, you know? And I think that dynamic works really well in that circumstance. But the thing that I was nervous about, I guess, was getting back to it, cause I'll go off on a tangent again, was Justin, you know, not having Tego is tough. Cause he's very much that balance to me a little bit there. And having that kind of, cause he's not very political and I am more political.
Yeah.
And my worry is that I'll take abstract transmissions too political. Not so much right now because of everything going on. I mean, this is one of the biggest moments, a watershed moment in human history, as a species. Like, this is a huge moment. I absolutely have no quarrel with, being very political right now. But at the same time, I don't want to lose some of the, you know, the people who are less interested in that. But it never seems to stay just on that. Like, we've done this whole episode. We can really kind of dive in and out of all kinds of different topics. And thank goodness for ADHD being a superpower sometimes.
Well,
cheers to that, but without alcohol.
I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Kevin, also known as Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, but he prefers to just go by Dr. Kevin. But he, I've known him for about 10, 12 years, and he's written books about ADD and ADHD, he has a book called Managing the Gift, and it's about.
Wonder if that's so. I watch a sorry to interrupt. How to ADHD? If you ever get a chance to check that out, Jessica McCabe. Runs that YouTube channel. That she's phenomenal. But I think she may have had him. It may be somebody else entirely, but I kind of swore that name sounds familiar and I'm usually bad with names. So I'm
probably
it might be. But anyway, what we'll do is send me that link and then I'll take the link that I'm talking about and I'll put it in the description.
The
YouTube description. That way, if anybody's watching this, they can see both of those two different people, regardless of whether they're associated or not.
They may be. Yeah. It would make sense.
But also just having those resources is everything, man.
I struggle
with ADHD and it is a struggle, especially trying to be a parent and now do this in the band and, you know, and I'm disabled, so it's like trying to do things around the house and in bursts and staying mm-hmm. like the time that I'm on my feet, like I have to be focused and actually get it done and not scatter myself all over the house, because every step okay. is a step that matters, right? Every step is impact for that period okay. of day, and like I have to quantify the amount of steps that I make so I don't overstep. And you know, so if I'm in my room, I got to stay in my room until everything's really done, have everything I'm needing in there. So I get it all done, then move to the next room and do it that way. And one, it's been very efficient with lists and so on and so forth. And two, I've been able to actually get some of it done without just feeling like I want to die at the end of it.
yeah.
But ADHD, the tangent, ADHD is impossible without resources. It's almost even more impossible without medication for me. I've been off the medication for years, off and on. I don't like the medication, but it becomes a necessary evil almost to function. In a normal American society as an ADHD person, highly functioning ADHD is not always a thing without medication. Depending on what you're doing as a person, creatively or whatever, if you're working in a factory like I did at Thompson Center Arms, you're just setting yourself up for failure. You know, I worked in the profiling metal finishing, and I was just doing barrels all day and over the same thing over and over. And I wasn't good at that job. You know, that's not I didn't fit into that, you know, that thing. But put me on Adderall and Adderall, but obsessive, but Concerta, which actually works for me. Adderall makes me a bad human being, actually.
Really?
I just don't like who I am with that medication, actually. I don't like it at all. But that's person to person. Some people have very good luck with it. Concerta works really well for me.
I've heard it helps me
kind of compartmentalize. It's basically just Ritalin, but extended release. It helps kind of break things down. It always kind of has since I've been a kid. But I've been able to take like a mood stabilizer to help balance that out, any of the effects that I don't like. So that's been nice. And I've been able to get some stuff done, but also manage things roughly. But lists have been, for my last year and a half, lists and how-to ADHD have pulled me through being a fucking parent. Really? Like after my wife died, like everything through that felt unmanageable. The whole world felt like shit and garbage. And it's like, how do I pull myself through this? I have to for him. And for myself too, but it's just like, I had music to kind of keep me going. You know what I mean? So I could keep him going, you know?
Right.
And it's just like, then also hyper managing all the things that I'm terrible at. I lose everything all the time, and everything I do is scattered, and it's just a scattered thought to another thought, and then Amazon, and then I've got to pay a bill, and then I get halfway through paying the bill and doing something with my debit card, and I realize I had to call an ECU because it's just never formed. So like that resource, when you're so scattered. Like she's actually just put out a couple of videos about grief recently that were just really hard hitting for me, that because she just lost her mom or whatever. The person who makes the how to ADHD videos. And I was like, holy shit. Like, with grief, like how I reacted to it and how I handled it and making things better and more organized here, having a friggin' somewhat made bed, you know what I mean?
Just little
things of feeling just normal and not so scattered and chaotic had helped me kind of breathe in a way wasn't working so well. So just little things like that, lists and organization kind of helped me through that. Without medication, it was almost impossible.
So that's, I remember seeing my
only tool, you know.
I remember seeing a lot of your Facebook posts about making lists and getting organized and
that's usually the one thing that, like, when I do like post online that's not like political or something, it had been like very much like what I feel like most people should do with social media to an extent, right? Not get obsessed with it, what people's opinions mm-hmm. are about what you post, but just post how you feel about something and what you're going through, you know what I mean? To yeah. connect with other people.
Yeah.
And get their experiences, hopefully not the shitty ones, right? Hopefully not right. the shitty responses. Hopefully you get the empathy that you can relate to the other person.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing that I guess we kind of circle back for the end of the episode is empathy, right? Like, mm-hmm. where are we right now as a country? It's so bad. It's so scary. And it's because we become so divided more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always obsessed with being right when we really need to learn how to be wrong and learn what that means, what that looks like, you know?
Yeah.
I feel, I don't mean to get preachy. It's like, it's been
such a
way we've went away from being Ellis Island America to being MAGA America.
Yeah. Yes.
The fuck how it didn't end with that shit blows my mind.
I know.
To see him do that, it made me think of every asshole that called me breast meat or man tits growing up. Every mm-hmm. asshole that called me fat fuck or fucking fart shit. Like I from that we jokingly, you know. It sucked growing up having that fucking just stupid shit that doesn't even really hurt. Now I look back and I laugh, but
yeah.
When you go through it, it's shitty. And to see a president of the United States do that.
Yeah.
Demean another person. And my kid's supposed to use that as an example. The fuck out of here with that shit. Fuck.
But if you ask a MAGA cultist, they'll just tell you no, that never happened.
I've heard this term. I didn't know that was a thing until just recently.
Magat. That's a good one. Yeah, and they'll there's even a guy
on Twitter, I don't know.
There's even a guy who made a whole like 10-minute documentary about how that wasn't really what Trump was doing in that moment and used video of other instances where he'd made exaggerated hand gestures and said, see, that's just something he does. It's on YouTube.
A lot of words for mental gymnastics is what that is.
Yeah.
Holy shit. You know,
but these people, they're so dedicated to their exalted hero, personal savior, Donald John Trump.
Yeah. No,
never seen anything like it.
It's just going to continue to get worse if the fact thing doesn't get better. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like that has to change now. Right now is that, again, that pivotal moment. So America, when I say I don't want to vote for fucking Joe Biden, I mean it. I genuinely don't want to vote for Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. I would much rather feel comfortable voting for Joe Jorgensen in a lot of ways.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
But this isn't that election. And it cannot be that election because there just won't be an America. Like when you think about a machine, and I say this online a lot as an analogy, you think about the machine as a poorly working, crappy, fucking awful machine. It's falling apart. It's falling apart. But that machine is a life source for the whole, for everybody. It runs your air. It runs everything. You continue to try to fix that machine with wrenches the best you fucking can and dismantle it maybe slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to do it with a wrench, not a fucking grenade.
Well put. Yeah.
I just don't know how else. Like if you want to go the direction of third parties, great. Maine just did it with ranked choice voting. Democrats did that shit. So I am not a big fan of Democrats, but they did do that. So maybe we can go a little bit more progressive than, you know, hitting people with batons and shooting them with fucking rubber bullets directly, which are designed to bounce off of things instead. And tear gas, which is against the Geneva Convention, to maybe going a little bit different, you know, way.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know, like I just that whole like. that whole thing. It's a mess. It's really a mess. And we need to use this as an opportunity to go, we don't want this. We may not like this, right? But we may be able to get to that point where we can have third parties if we continue to speak and continue to have people fighting out there. And even if they're people injecting themselves in the Democratic Party, like Andrew Yang and Tulsi, those people are not bad people. We may not ideologically agree with everything, but a lot of libertarians can coincide with some of the things that they're saying. For sure.
Definitely.
The income tax ain't far off from UBI. Because at the end of the day, if it's more you're getting back than you're spending in taxes,
yeah,
you're the fucking zero, dude.
Like, do the math. Exactly.
Like, exactly. It's not, like, people are good, so they're going to take it out of my taxes. Are they taxing you $1,000 a month? No. Are you getting $1,000 a month? Yes.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like this should be a picture of fucking John Travolta looking at his, where, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like, Jesus, fuck, dude. It's that's the most simple math out there. You can't get more simple than that.
I agree. I get it. And I'm terrible at math and I understand it. So yeah.
Right. It's simple in and out mathematics. And it may subvert some of that money from people who have bloated the economy. When people are like free market capitalism, but this ain't that. This ain't free market capitalism at all. This ain't laissez-faire capitalism. And if you think it is, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, you know. And that's it. You know, Amazon making $14 billion in a day. That's not free market capitalism. That's things slated in their favor because of just mismanagement of government and years of policies that don't work. So,
But
we can't just
throw
it away overnight because things didn't work with the reality TV show guy.
And look what Amazon pays in taxes. Zero.
Zero. Absolutely zero. Mm-hmm. That's fucking crazy. When you look at everything that's happened, no wonder why things are the way they are. So, we need to shift. Now, I'm not saying we need to, like, taxation is not the way to go. I do believe taxation is theft. I do believe it in my heart that we don't need to put guns against people's heads, that people can do things voluntarily. But it takes incrementalism to get there. And not like overnight, like we're going to end the Fed, like Ron Paul would have, you know, is the best way to go. I don't even know how he's doing. I hope he's doing okay. I haven't actually followed up on that thing. He's right about a lot of things, but how to get there is not going to happen overnight. Like, revolutions never turn out well, ever. Ever. Revolutions have never worked for anybody ever in human history, ever. Socialism is the argument that never works out. Yeah, it never works out fine. Revolutions never work out, ever. Whether it's a libertarian revolution, a socialist revolution, a democratic republican revolution, even the Civil War worked out in no one's favor.
True.
Long term, really. Slavery ended, but it really isn't solely because of Civil War and just a lot of people died when it shouldn't have existed to begin with. But you can argue that there's a benefit there, and I see that. But so many people died, and really... Are we still not having the race wars? Are we still not having it just in a different way? It's a change that needs to happen right at home with your local politicians first. Your guys down the street, like, find out who your local the people. Everybody's so wrapped up in the presidency. Look at who you're voting for locally, because that shit actually impacts you. And then start listening to the people across the street. You know?
Yeah.
Fuck, man. We're getting there. When we talk about things like this, when we can accept that, you know, we have to have these discussions with people that we may not agree with.
Yeah.
But if we don't take a hard look at authoritarianism as a whole, we can goose step us into autocracy really, really fucking fast. And
history
proves that shit.
Yes.
That not just like revolutions, that somebody's always going to take the power if they can. every single time. And that's why socialism didn't work. Every time somebody's like, socialism doesn't work, it's because handfuls of people always want to take the power in it. It's just like, well, we can have a little bit more. We do a little bit more, so we can have a little bit more than these guys. And then it's a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And pretty soon everybody's got harems and it's banana shit. So I get the anti-socialism thing, but we're not in that point. We got 3D printers now. It is the future. AI is a thing. We have self-driving cars. Star Trek's not out of our grasp. And taxation is theft, except when from robots. That's been my hashtag thing I've been doing. Tax robot labor is the one that I've been going with for a while. And I do believe that.
I remember you talking about that.
Not taxing people in their robots, right?
But
taxing the full-on production, just solid profit that comes from just pure automation that's free labor.
Right.
Nobody's suffering from this. This isn't the same as workers.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Unless those are AIs and the UFOs and then... Dude, I didn't mean anything by it. I just, as far as we know, as far as we know, that shit doesn't exist. But if so, I welcome our binary masters. Anyway,
I'm gonna need some acid for that conversation.
Dude, seriously, yeah, I think I too. I didn't even expect to go there. That just popped in my head. What, Ray? What just popped in there? It's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. What were we talking about? Autocracy. And where I just totally went on an awful tangent. What, I was coming to a point. It was good. It was going to be good.
I don't know. You made a good point about authoritarianism and.
Yeah, no, it was something clever that I just wanted to wrap up in a nice tight bow. Nice tight bow.
You might have to put it later in the Facebook comments. Subscribe below.
Subscribe below.
Gotta remember that too. Yeah.
We gotta do that now. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think that where I was going was no, that wasn't where I was going. It doesn't matter, actually. I think I got most of what I was trying to say across that taxing AI labor is our way out of this. That and cannabis.
Yeah.
Two-step success program here. The Cuffy Proctor two-step success program is AI taxed labor and cannabis can single-handedly save not just our country, the entire human race.
Yeah.
Now, hear me out for a second. Robotics and AI and that type of software, as long as we're not using it to just, you know, rob, you know, Joe and his truck stop down, you know, like we need to focus like we could get smarter about how we do things. Let's use AI to farm the crops. You know what I'm saying? Like let's use AI to solve the problems of homelessness and transportation in rural areas. There's so many things that could be done with these two things that can bring a lot of capital, we can also produce a lot of free money. And money is not free, right? Except for when from robots. It is free. It is free production. It uses resources, but those resources can be reproduced by AI.
Yeah.
Which can be reproduced by ultimately solar energy. You know, so solar energy becomes a problem because of the faculty matter of how much you have to work and all that stuff, with effort being the part of the equation where we lose back to battery production and battery grids and power grids. But AI solves that problem.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's a purely speculative opinion, and I'm not a physicist or a scientist or a mathematician. Total layman's opinion here, but that and cannabis and being more empathic. Those is a three-step program.
There you go. I love it.
Empathy, cannabis, and robots. Who doesn't love that?
Yes. Yeah.
As always, I really can't thank you enough for an awesome conversation.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously, it's been a blast. And I'm glad that we had this is exactly what I had hoped it would kind of look like for abstract transmissions moving forward. And let me know your ideas on the podcast thing. I'd love to hop on a couple of times here, there, and everywhere. I'm all about
definitely.
Especially the politics thing, anywhere I can kind of focus. That's kind of why a Cuffy Proctor thing exists. So I didn't weight this too much in politics. But again,
right.
Watershed moment, folks. Vote. Mm-hmm. Whether it's for Trump, whether it's for fucking the middle parties, whether it's for the Democrats, which I think would be the smart decision if you don't want the world to collapse. But hey, whose opinion is it? Is we all have our opinions. I think that Matt's is right, though. I'm going to agree. You're the independent thing, spot on. Like, being independent is great, but this isn't one of those things that's just like we're trying to save face here, you know. And maybe we're stunting for Biden right now. I don't know, but I don't give a shit. I have a kid that, and we have futures and hopefully podcasts that'll make it through this fucking shit. This is, you know what I mean? Like, we all want life to get better, right? We don't want things to get worse. So, you know, either way, go out and vote for your locals before you step into that booth. Know what your local what your local votes are about, you know,
Or don't even go out and vote. Have them send you a mail-in ballot. I've got mine sitting right over there, and I'm really looking forward to filling this one out.
That's even better. You know, if you don't have to go out and add to the load, because you know, wherever you're listening to this, you know, they're not going to make it easy to vote.
Right.
That's been very apparent. Like, from everything with the lost mailboxes to the Proud Boys, like, they're going to stand back and stand by near polling places, like, all that shit, nobody wants to deal with that. And doing it from home makes it a little bit easier. And with this election, it doesn't matter whether you vote there or not. You're not going to have the answer on election night. So don't expect it, you know. That's kind of my thing is, but vote now. Vote right now. If you can, vote right now. I'm personally going to go out on the day because I'm neurotic and I want my sticker and I do it every year. Oh, yeah. I'm going to have my vote on. I'll keep my distance from people. Maybe not the most safe thing to do. But I mean, it's Barrington, New Hampshire. And unless all of a sudden we start skyrocketing, I'm not going to be super, super worried about it. But again, this is the thing that I think is super important. And we'll end it here. I think that you would agree is your local politicians matter so much more than Donald Trump or Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Like your local, like, find out what before you step in that voting booth or before you get your mail-in ballot, while you're ordering it now, getting it now, like, find out what your local Republican or Democrat or Libertarian, politician is about, or, you know, selectman or whoever it is. Matt, thank you so much.
Sorry, I just heard a strange... I think I know what it was. I just heard a strange noise. Sorry, I didn't mean to be distracted all of a sudden.
No, it's okay. I was going to say, you know, I'll let you go. We've been on for a little while here. So I appreciate your time. This has been a really great, like, 2 hour long conversation that I could honestly, we could have these forever, you know, honestly. So I hope to do this again real soon. And
anytime. And you're always welcome on my show too, by the way.
That'd be great. I would love to do that again. It's hard to get down to Manch, but if I don't know how things have changed, I'll be honest, I've been so wrapped up in things, I haven't caught any of the change, if you guys have had any changes or I mean, you've already got a big space in there as it is.
Yeah, so distancing. it's easy to spread people out. And if you use Skype, we can always bring you in on Skype too. Some people Skype in.
I thought about putting that.
I would put Zoom on the computer in the studio, but I'm afraid to.
Yeah.
Because the particular one that we already have Skype on, it acts funny it's like a really old computer.
I've got,
that is always an option
here as well. Yeah. We should do that. Okay. That'd be great. I would love to, do that actually. Cause it's it's great having these conversations with like minds, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I think that the name of the game isn't necessarily that we want to be so far to the left, so far to the right about things. And even if we are, moderate talking points is what's going to bring us closer together and kind of, I think, heal a lot of things, because we're not going to all agree on everything. But it's
right
able to talk about it and not
exactly,
you know,
exactly.
And I think that's our way out of it.
Yeah.
The three-step program.
Absolutely. There you go.
On that note, Lauren, thank you so much. The Cuffy Proctor three-step program was it cannabis?
Empathy, cannabis, and empathy, AI. And robots. AI. Yes. Yes.
Robots.
All right. Sounds good note, to me.
Abstract as always. Thank you so much. And I really can't thank you enough for a great episode. And as always, everybody out there too, we appreciate your time listening in. And we're going to try to do this pretty regularly. I'm going to have another one coming up pretty soon here in a couple of days, I think. So stay tuned.
Good.
And as always, abstract here, abstract there.
Abstract Transmissions.